Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is sponsored by Pipedrive, the CRM for small teams with big ambitions. Whether you are an entrepreneur or not, sales can be tough, but it doesn't have to be. Entrepreneurs like Pipedrive because it visualizes your sales pipeline, highlights opportunities and potential problems, ultimately ensuring important activities and conversations don't get dropped. Head over to pipedrive.com/hack to start your 30-day free trial today. That's pipedrive.com/hack.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. It is so very cool of you to join me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a speaker, a best-selling and award-winning writer, brand consultant, entrepreneur, and a wondrous being of light and splendor. She became the answer to a Trivial Pursuit and Jeopardy question after being fired from her job as a web designer for blogging stories involving her colleagues. She's the founder and the professional blogger at Deuce. She has been part of the internet writing community for 14 years and has worked to create targeted content for global brands, including Ford, Nintendo, and Clorox. She is also the author of the New York Times bestseller, It Sucked, and Then I Cried. Now, let's hack. Heather Armstrong. Everyone needs health coverage, but when you're self-employed, finding the best plan for you can be a long and difficult process. Stride Health wants to ensure that you're not overpaying for your plan and that it isn't such a hassle to find. Stride Health will not only find you a plan that fits your need and budget perfectly, they'll also find your doctors and pharmacy for you. Say goodbye to the headaches caused by locking in all your healthcare needs. Their intelligent algorithm compares 38 factors and searches thousands of plans to find a customer's single most effective and valuable plan. Their experts are also available year-round to answer your questions and fight your battles. November 1st is the cutoff to pick your new insurance health plan. Make sure it's the best plan for you with Stride Health. Join now at stridehealth.com/hack. You'll get access to their on-call care team who has your back when you need it most. Joining Stride is free. Takes 2 minutes, and it's built just for you. Again, join today at stridehealth.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very, very special guest. Heather, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. You?
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm glad you got here. And there's no wood chopping in the background.
No, the wood chopping has stopped momentarily.
Excellent. All right, Heather, let's jump straight into this.
Okay.
Heather, can you tell me, as an entrepreneur and as a professional blogger, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
The one thing that I do is I pay very close attention to, I guess you would say, the consumers, which are my readers, and what they respond to, what they want to hear from me, what they don't respond to, and balancing that with what I'm good at. And it's been sort of an organic moving body throughout the last, it's almost 15 years now, but you know, I'm very in tune with the people who read my website and what they come to see. And that propelled me to the height of my success and was why I continued to write, for sure.
Nice. Do you focus, like, what percentage of your time would be focusing on finding new readers, which sometimes I think people focus too much on? But I love how you're focused on just, like, your actual audience, like how they respond to what you're doing.
You know, I don't actively seek out new readers. It's not something that I've ever done. I've never done any advertising. And with the readership I recently stepped quite a bit away from my website. But, you know, at the time that I did step away, I still had enough of a readership that I was making a great living. And for me, It sounds counterintuitive as an entrepreneur, but I was really happy with the relationship, and I didn't need more readers because it wasn't like I needed to make more money. I was happy living the way I was, making the money that I was, and doing what I loved for the people who read it. And I just, you know, my audience grew over the years, and then of course it leveled off, and that was fine with me because I was making, you know, I lived comfortably, and that for me was the main point. But I don't want to drive a Mercedes or a Maserati or, you know, take grand vacations on yachts in the Mediterranean. That's not who I am. So I try to live as humbly as I possibly can, especially in recent years.
Yeah, which is fair. I mean, set up your business as a lifestyle, like how you want it. Don't make it dictate how you have to be.
Right.
And so, all right, let's go back then. So, because everyone's going to be wondering right now, you talk about how your audience kind of leveled off, yet you make this living, the exact living that you want from it, which is amazing. But people are probably going to wonder sort of how this began. So where you sort of started with this, and maybe how many years it took you of writing and building this audience before you did eventually make that living.
Yeah, so I started in 2001, and I honestly, it was just a hobby. I thought maybe 12 people would read it, 12 of my friends across the country. And I realized that I liked blogging. I liked the freedom and expression of it. And early on, I got linked by a blogger named Jason Kotke, who's been around, God, for almost 20 years now. And he was my first bump in traffic. And I think from there, I had like 500 readers. It was, oh my gosh, 500 people are reading me. And then when I lost my job because of my website in 2002. And that's when that was the first explosion of traffic. And it went from about, I had grown it to about 4,000, and it went straight up to like 12 to 15,000 in one day. And
so you lost your job from?
I did.
I don't want to gloss over this. Sorry.
I did. It's actually so significant that it became a Trivial Pursuit question. And I was actually featured as a question on Jeopardy.
Really?
Yeah, it was on Jeopardy. I was writing stories about my workplace because I was bored out of my mind, and the people that I worked with were crazy. It was in LA, and people in LA can be a little kooky. And I wrote about my coworkers and my workplace, but I never mentioned where I worked, and I never mentioned anybody by name. But an anonymous person found out and sent all the vice presidents an email and said, you should check out her website. And within days, I was walked to my car with all of my belongings in a cardboard box.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt your story, but I just, I don't hear that very often. My blog caused me to get fired.
It is. And it's so, the term deuced came about, where if you get in trouble for anything that you've done online, you got deuced. And my mom's super proud of that.
Finally.
I'm like, but mom, I'm a Trivial Pursuit question. Come on.
That's pretty great. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your story. After you got, and then
yeah, so that was a big day. That was a big day in my life.
It was media, like media attention got you the readers?
It was online. It shook the online world quite a bit because it hadn't happened really on a significant level like that. People were like, oh, wait a minute. So what I've written on my website could potentially get me in trouble with my job. And Metafilter picked it up. A couple of other forum sites picked it up. And discussions everywhere about the consequences and the ripple effects of this. It was a huge discussion, and it's still going on, you know.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
And this was, so 2001 you started, and 2003, did you say?
2002, February 27th, February 28th, 2002 was when they walked me to my car. Yeah.
Wow. And then you were just, you had to turn this into a business.
Well, no, I took about 6 months where I had a little discussion with myself about boundaries. And I did a lot of freelance work, and then the man who would become my now ex-husband, we got we eloped, he lost his job, and we realized that we couldn't live in Los Angeles anymore or afford to. So we we moved back to Utah and lived in my mom's basement for 6 months.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then I think it was 2005 when you went like full time. That's when you brought ads to the site.
Right.
So monetization.
Right. So I moved in with my mom at the end of 2002 and just continued to write. I wrote through the pregnancy of my first child, thinking that I was going to end the website the day that she was born, because there's no way I was going to be able to blog and have time, you know, for a child. But then she was born, and that was another huge jump in traffic. And then I had really severe postpartum depression, and writing about it really helped me process what was going on. And, you know, I really credit my readers with helping to save my life during that time. And I actually had to check into the hospital. And the day I checked into the hospital, like, my traffic tripled. Like, people were really interested in the fact that I was being so open about it. And from there, that was in 2004. And the numbers at that point, people were already coming to me. Small ad businesses were coming to me saying, you know, we could give you this much a month for this banner or and whatnot. And in 2005, that was officially the year when my ex quit his job and my website became the sole income for our family.
Whoa. But that must have been a pretty good feeling.
It was terrifying.
Well, yeah, of course. But to know that you built this, like...
Yeah, it was good. It was really good because so many ad networks at the time that were starting were all coming to me saying, sign with us, sign with us, sign with us. And I had options. And the numbers looked really good. And it was a long and difficult decision to make, but yeah, it felt wonderful. I had worked really hard. You know, I had worked really hard on this hobby, not knowing that it was eventually going to pay for my mortgage.
Yeah. And that's an amazing thing. And then at some point you started writing books.
I did.
I've
written three. And I can honestly say it's not a very satisfying experience. I don't want to do it again. No, really? Don't make me do it again. Yeah, I'm much, much better at the sprint writing is what I call it. I'm much better at blogging than I am with the long form. You know, I'm not a novelist. That's just not who I am. I'm a much better writer in shorter chunks.
Wow. So the books, were they not your idea?
They were. I was sort of talked into it by a few agents who had come after me. And it was just an interesting experience with publishing. For me, it was like, okay, well, I'll do a book because, you know, you grow up and you think, okay, I'm going to be legitimate when I have a book published. And I got the book published and I was like, you know what? I have so much more fun and it's so much more satisfying to write my website. And I make more money doing my website. So it just seemed to me like not a waste of my time, but like, I didn't want to do it again because my blog brought me so much happiness.
Yeah. And you can just do it from the blog. And then when you say that you sort of have like stepped away from the blog in the last year or so?
Yes, I have. Yes. Back in April, I put up a post and said that I was going to be significantly pulling back. And that after I had finished a few contracts that I needed to fulfill, I'm no longer doing sponsored content on my website, which is pretty much now the only way that you can make money is you have to write sponsored content.
Yeah, especially with pop-ups being blocked, ad blockers, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
And so you're not doing that anymore?
No, I'm writing when I feel compelled to write. I wanted to get back to 2001, 2002, 2003 when I really wanted to write a story and not come up with some sort of publishing schedule. And okay, so I have to write that Ford post and I have to write that Clorox post. And it became something that I didn't sign up to do.
Right. So you need to kind of get away from it.
Yeah.
Is there a fear that you'll lose your audience?
You know, I got over that fear because I was so unhappy. And there was a little bit of a fear, but I was so unhappy that in order to really get my sanity back, I had to step away. And what's interesting is when I do publish, people, I think they still have me in their RSS readers, or they'll see the link on Facebook or on Twitter. And the day that I publish something, you know, my numbers go right back up. So I think they're still there. They just are waiting for me, for my inspiration to strike.
That's pretty cool. And they're probably actually even happier that you're not writing about Clorox to them anymore.
Yeah, I've gotten back to my wacky crazy. Like, I call it my trademarked brand of crazy. I've gotten back to that, and my readers are most of them are really happy. Some of them are concerned that I've gone insane. I'm like, this isn't insanity. This is single parenting. This is what you're saying is single parenting. This is what you're saying.
Yes. So you're not working every day sort of on the business? You don't?
Well, I'm right now, I'm working probably 10 times harder now that I've stepped away, because so much other work came in. So it was odd, because when I said, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, I got pounced on by all these people who are like, well, let's do this together. And I'm working through all of those ideas and collaborations, and I'm still doing sponsored content on social channels, which I don't feel as gross about. And it's managing all of that, doing the business side of things, the tech side of things, where I don't take a lunch break anymore. I don't have time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's okay. So that's interesting. I thought you were just like walking with your dogs and stuff all day.
No.
And
just, oh my God, how amazing that would be.
So, okay. So then let's talk about like projects. So you have this business and this website that does this, but you step away from that and you say you don't want to do anything, but then you get pounced on by a ton of people and your email box and your phone probably fills up with offers and ideas of things to work on.
Right.
What's the process you go through to decide if something is a project that you should now put your time into when you said you didn't want to already?
So it's what I wanted to do is I wanted to step away and get more into consulting work. And I really want to get into speaking. And I think I've done 5 speaking gigs since I stepped away, and just enjoy them. I enjoy it so much. It's really, speaking on stage is a bit of an extension of what I did on my website. And I've gotten a really good reaction, and that's where I really want to head in the direction of. But right now I'm sort of caught in the quagmire of going through these projects, and it's a ton of email. Email is just consumes me. And then if, you know, you go through like 70 emails and then you finally get on the phone, and it's been a lot of a gut reaction. Like, is this worth it or not? And some of these offers have been really, really good offers that I'm like, you know, I just don't want to do that. So I'm still in the transition phase of what is next for me.
That's awesome.
Still figuring it out. And that figuring out process it's like an 80-hour-a-week job, at least. There's so much that goes into it.
Wow. And so consulting and speaking, what would be like your ideal like consulting gig you could get?
I would love to talk to brands specifically about how they're working with influencers. There are so many sites popping up saying, come join our network of influencers and we will connect you with the brand. And it's just all not right.
And you probably get approached by some of them?
Oh, I get approached by all of them. And what's interesting is I have so much experience working with brands because I did it for so long on my website that I have all this insight into that's not going to go over well, or this will, or how about you approach it this way? And I've done a little bit of that so far. I'd like to do more, but I really just want to carve out time and just do a speaking gig as much as I can.
Nice. And you're speaking on like branding and influencers?
The speech that I've given most so far is about dealing with online criticism and how to process the dark side of what goes on online.
Wow. So I love this. It seemed to me like you were trying to get out of the whole business aspect of it, but you're really trying to go deep into it, just in a different way.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And your blog will just be literally your personal blog again. Like it started out as before you got fired so many years ago.
Right. Exactly. Back to bringing me happiness, right? I was on a plane and I was headed to New York. And mind you, I have 0 minutes in my day to do anything. I do not take a break. Like I don't take a lunch break. And there I am on a plane, stuck in a seat for 3.5 hours. And there was I could have watched like a movie or a television show. And instead I was like, I have 3 hours to write. Oh my God. And so I broke out my laptop and I just started writing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I miss this so much. I miss it so much.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think storytelling is at the heart of who I am. And it's now, what does that look like next?
Nice. And do you still, would you recommend to somebody in your position in 2001, would you still, besides the like learning HTML or something, because there's much easier ways nowadays.
Right.
But, and with the criticism and the way it's evolved and like, I mean, blown up with social media, would you still recommend to like your former self to start and just like publish literally like your heart and soul onto a blog?
Absolutely. I mean, the benefits far, far, far outweigh the negatives. The negatives are hard to deal with psychologically, but the benefits, the connections that I have made and the feedback that I've gotten and the friends that I've made, I mean, life has been amazingly rich from what I've done. Amazingly.
Yeah. And it's just being willing to put that out there.
Yeah.
And finding your people, right?
Finding my people and putting a voice. I mean, I've done quite a bit of writing about depression and helping people who live with people who have depression understand what they're going through. And that's been the most rewarding thing about my job is putting a face to mental health.
Nice. I love it.
Thank you.
All right. This has been a lot of fun. I want to just wrap up on one thing
okay. That
I'm kind of calling the entrepreneurial gap. So just as like creatives and dreamers, we're always sort of projecting ourselves forward, always looking forward, always like setting goals for ourselves and things we want to accomplish, right? Like whether it's speaking or consulting or writing that book. And before we even get to that part, we're always setting bigger ones into the future and we never seem to get there. So we end up in this gap that's not really there or here, which is always where we want to be. So I would love right now, Heather, if you could just stop and look behind you and just all the things you've learned, accomplished, done, highs, lows, and tell me how you feel about what you've accomplished up till today.
I could die today knowing that my legacy is a good one. It is. It's a very good one. Just in terms of there's one email that I got from a 21-year-old girl. And I remember the day that I got it. I remember thinking, that's it. Like I have accomplished, that's the one thing in the world that I will never top in terms of accomplishments career-wise. It was a 21-year-old girl who said that she had sent her parents, they had been estranged for 4 or 5 years, and she sent her parents my website and they finally understood her depression and they reunited. And that email alone was like, I have done that for someone. I don't think that there's anything professionally that I can do to top that one story.
Yeah.
And that changed me fundamentally. And from that point on, I was like, the success that I have, I really want to use it for good. That's the former Mormon in me coming out. But I really, going forward, there's a lot that I want to do with nonprofits and bringing attention to issues and trying to bring about something good with this.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you should be very, very, very proud of what you've accomplished up till now.
Thank you. Thank you. I am very proud.
Well, this has been a lot of fun and I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Where can the listener go find out more about you?
The listener can Google Heather Armstrong and find a whole bunch of stuff about me.
Nice.
A lot of it not true. But they can still go to my website, dooce.com, and they can find out everything they need to know.
Excellent. And you are on Twitter actively, I believe.
Yes, I am at the handle Deuce as well. Yes. I'm Deuce on all the social platforms.
Okay, excellent. I will link to that for you so they're easy to find. So again, Heather, please thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And please keep doing what you're doing because it really, really is awesome.
Hi, I really appreciate that. That feedback really means a lot to me. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, that was a lot of fun, Heather. And I thank you so much again for joining me. And thank you so much again for the work that you have done on your blog, the writing and the work that you have put in. And I know you've stepped away a bit, but you will probably come back when the inspiration gets back to you. And that's totally cool, totally fine. But I hadn't read a lot of your work before I talked to you. And then during our conversation, I got really intrigued and I had to hear more. And now I'm actually recording this just over a week after, about 8 days after doing the interview and having this conversation. And I've read almost your whole site, like years worth of writing. It's really, 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 really good. I highly, highly recommend it. I mean, it's not going to be for everybody. And that's kind of what Heather kind of gets into. Like, it's just, she doesn't need to find more people. And none of us do. And I love that about it. She's just herself in everything she expresses and exposes on the site. And you either love her or you hate her, I guess. And she's totally cool with that. But I do want to just say that I'm really, really enjoying your work. And I recommend anybody go check it out at deuce.com, D-O-O-C-E. But now, it's been a week. It's been 8 days. And so I'm going back through the conversation. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots marked as potentials for the things to go back and listen to. I went back and listened to all 5. And the second one grabbed me. There was this one thing that Heather said that just really, really stood out to me. It was right there. And I had missed it the first time, but then when I went back again, it was there. That one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Absolutely. I mean, the benefits far, far, far outweigh the negatives. The negatives are hard to deal with psychologically, but the benefits of the connections that I have made and the feedback that I've gotten and the friends that I've made, I mean, life has been amazingly rich from what I've done. Amazingly.
And that's the hack. Heather, Heather, Heather. Thank you. Thank you so much. So Heather was responding to a question where she talks about losing her job at one point. She talks about just the backlash from people about some of the things she's written and some of the things she's done. And if you would go back, and now she wants to help brands and people deal with negative feedback online because she knows that it can be massive, and it can be. As soon as you expose yourself in any way online, you're going to get your haters. It's just the way it is. But I asked her if she was starting now, or would she recommend somebody starting now to start a blog, would she? And she said, absolutely, like no hesitation. And I love that because this is so, so absolutely true. This is the whole, we don't know where our path, our journey is going looking forward. But looking back now, Heather can see all the things that she's got to do in her life, writing a best-selling book, having a business when she needed it, like a website that she could literally monetize because of her audience and make a full-time living on it. Now she can pull back from it and start a whole nother career and get literally responding to just tons of emails of people offering ideas of partnerships and projects she could work on, and amazing ones, all because of the work she put in writing on a blog. This is awesome. This is the time we live in, and I don't care if you don't think you are a writer or not, but if you write enough, you will get better, and then you will get good. It's the process of it. And just think about it for a second. There's not one person you know of or that you respect in business or in any activity that you're in that doesn't write in some way and that you haven't discovered her through writing, usually a blog or else writing in other places or books, or it's just something that doesn't have to be your business, but it exposes you and your ideas to the world and to more like other people that can then discover you or reach out to you. And not even that, it's like podcasting does for me, if you can maybe possibly tell sometimes. It's me literally working out my thoughts and becoming clearer in my ideas that I can then take to other parts of my life and other parts of my business and do things with them. So either through the written word or the spoken word with, say, podcasting, these are ways you can clarify and work through these questions and find answers and solutions to problems and move forward. This is a big, 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 big thing that I cannot tell you enough, and I won't stop telling you that you need to start producing content in some way. And I mean, I don't even want to call it content. That's not even a cool way to say it. That's not what I'm referring to in this. I'm literally saying putting your ideas forth in a way that you're comfortable with. Whether that's video on YouTube or that's audio on iTunes or it's text on your own blog or on Medium. If you don't even want to set up your own site, go to medium.com and you can just start writing. It's a beautiful place to write. It looks amazing. It feels amazing. It's simple. And there's people there waiting. But it's something that once you get in the habit of it and you start producing enough of it, I mean, so many people with so many different businesses on my show, I've talked about, and the whole, they can go back and the whole beginning of their like entrepreneurial journey started when they decided to just start writing and just start putting their ideas out there to a blog where nobody's listening. And just trust me, nobody's listening to anybody's blog when they start for the first 6 months, maybe a year. But don't do it for other people. Do it for yourself and put these ideas out there and start working on them. And you'll become more confident in your ideas and more confident in yourself. And then eventually people might actually start finding it because they'll somehow resonate with that confidence and that control over your ideas. So Heather, thank you very much for the conversation again. And thank you for that because... yeah, I love that you were so confident in, yes, you would definitely do it again and recommend it to others. All right, that was a lot of fun. That really, really, truly was. As always, it's an absolute pleasure that I get to do this with you. Reach out to me if you would love. Twitter, John Nastor, JonNastor, or send me an email, JON@hacktheentrepreneur.com. Tell me what you're up to, and I would love to hear from you. I'd love to have a conversation. Or if you are so inclined, go to hacktheentrepreneur.com. Get on the email list. You'll see spots to put your email. It all goes to the same spot. And then you can even just respond to any of those emails and you'll have me right at my laptop. Yes, that's how it works. All right. Thank you so much. I really do truly appreciate you stopping by. I know that you have a lot of choices of podcasts and it makes me so happy that you're out there. So please, until next time. Keep hacking the entrepreneur.